When the Buddha gave his shortest description of his awakening, there was a principle of causality. When this is, that is. When the arising of this comes the arising of that. When this isn't, that isn't. From the cessation of this comes the cessation of that. Those are actually two causal principles. One is causality in the present moment. When A happens, B happens immediately as a result. When A goes away, B goes away immediately. That's the first principle. The second principle is causality over time. After A arises, B can arise any time, and right away or after a long, long time. When A passes away, B will eventually pass away again, quickly or over a long time. When you've got two causal principles interacting like this, it gets very complex. This is why the Buddha said that karma is one of those issues that if you try to tease out all the complexities, you go crazy. But the basic principles are all the same, very simple. You act on skillful intentions, the results will be good. If you act on unskillful intentions, the results will not be good. Now, when those results will come, how strong they'll become, is going to depend on a lot of other factors. But the important thing is the Buddha talked about the importance of the mind in this causal sequence. First verse in the Dhammapada, all phenomena are preceded by the mind, made by the mind. And then he uses that principle to illustrate the idea of karma. You act with a clear mind, a bright mind, the results will be good. You act with a clouded, defiled mind, the results will be bad. The good results will follow you like a shadow which has no weight. Bad results will follow you like a cart that you have to pull. It's heavy and it obliterates your footsteps. So the causality that Buddha is interested in is not so much causality in terms of billiard balls outside. It's causality in the mind, and particularly the causality that produces happiness or pleasure on the one hand, pain, sorrow on the other hand. And the important point of that double principle of causality is it leaves room for freedom of choice. Because some of those causes that arise in the present moment and give rise to results in the present moment, sometimes they are caused by things in the past, but sometimes they're not. And those causes come in from the past. It's not that you have one karma bearing fruit right now. It's going to impel you to have to do something in response. The Buddha's image is of a field. You've got lots of seeds in the field. Some of them are all sprouting at the same time. And you can hurry up some of them by your active attention. You water them, he says, with your attention. So what you pay attention to in the present moment will depend on the range of things that are coming in. But there will be a range. Sometimes it's a narrow range. Sometimes it's a broad range. And one of the purposes of the meditation is to see what those opportunities are, what opportunities are given by your past karma. If we were to explain the Buddhist teachings on karma and causality, we'd have to make reference to nonlinear systems, which can get very complex. But the important point about these systems is they sustain themselves, but they also contain the seeds for their own dissolution. Following the principles that build them can also take them apart. And we're here to take things apart. But first we have to build. If we were to compare the Buddha to a scientist, he'd be like an engineer. He talks about how we make houses out of reeds and they get washed away. Make bridges out of reeds, they get washed away. But we can build a raft that takes us across. We can build a path. The word bhavana, which we translate as meditation, really means to bring into being. You have to bring the path into being. And it's something you put together. The image for the path, most like engineering, is a chariot. A Chariots back then were quite elaborate. If you wanted to have a chariot, they rode over rough roads, but would be comfortable. The suspension was very intricate. And people prided themselves on their knowledge of chariots, the way car enthusiasts pride themselves about their knowledge of cars. So you're putting together a path. The important thing to know about the Buddha's teachings on causality are that they have a pattern, but the pattern can be manipulated. It's not set in stone. It's not just gears in a machine. It's something you can direct in the direction you want it to go. So you can take the wood, the raw material you have from your past karma, and you can try to build a house out of it, or you can try to build a chariot that will take you far. You've got that choice. If it weren't for the pattern, there'd be nothing we could learn. When the Buddha argued with other teachers about their teachings on causality, and it's interesting to note that even though the Buddha was not the sort of person to go out and pick fights with people, he would go out and find people who were teaching views about causality that he thought were detrimental. And he chose people, on the one hand, who taught determinism, that everything was totally determined by the past, in which case you had no choice. And on the other hand, he argued with people who had said that there was no causal pattern, everything was totally random. Both, he said, would make it impossible for there to be a path to the end of suffering. If you had no choices, well, you couldn't choose the path. Suffering would just, you'd have to wait for suffering to end on its own, if it would. You have no idea that it would. As for the random people, there'd be nothing you could learn today that would teach you what to do tomorrow. The Buddha approached the path as a skill. And as I said, it's an engineering skill. You're putting together a state of right concentration right now, or at least you're trying to. You start with right effort, any unskillful qualities come up in the mind. You cultivate the desire for them to go away, and then you do your best to actually make them go away. You try to make sure they don't come back. As for skillful qualities, you try to give rise to them. Again, the word for giving rise, bhavana. You build them, you bring them into being. And once they're there, then you try to maintain them. So the raw materials you have here are mindfulness, alertness, ardency. These qualities of mind you can bring. And then you've got the objects you can bring them to. The body in and of itself, feelings, mind, mental qualities in and of themselves. For the time being, the Buddha said, start with the breath, because when you have the breath, you've got all four of those frames of reference. When you're breathing comfortably, there's a feeling. When you're paying attention to the breath, there's a mind state. And as you try to be observant of these things and work with them, those are mental qualities. Either you're dealing with hindrances or you're dealing with factors for awakening. Those are all the raw materials. You want to bring some skill to this. Try to put them together in a skillful way. And then, as he said, commit and then reflect. Have you put together a good chariot? Is it something you can ride in comfortably? Can it take you any place? If not, well, try to make adjustments. When you're focusing the mind like this, don't throw away whatever mindfulness or concentration you have. Some people say, my concentration is weak, throw it away. Where is concentration going to get strong unless you take the weak concentration you've already got and work with it, try to extend it? If you're able to stay with the breath for 3 breaths, okay, the next time around, 5 breaths, the next time around, 10. Take the weak mindfulness you have, the weak concentration you have, and maintain them, develop them. That's how these things grow. This is a more organic image, which may not fit in with the engineering, but you get the idea. You're taking a causal principle and you're using it. You've learned the pattern, or you're learning the pattern. You're trying to direct the pattern in the direction you want it to go. So you finally do get a sense of well-being with the breath. You learn how to breathe in a way that feels good, not only at your nose, but throughout the whole body. And then you try to maintain that. As you maintain it, it grows stronger. So we're taking the principles of causality and we're doing something with them. That's where we're like engineers. We don't just sit and talk about theory. And we assume that we do have the freedom of choice to take a causal pattern and direct it where we want it to go. The other image of engineers the Buddha used in his time were the people who built canals. They would direct the water to irrigate fields. So direct your mind in this direction toward a healthy field of karma with healthy karma seeds and a sense of well-being while you're here. Learn how to use the principles of causality for the aims that you have, the aim of a happiness that doesn't let you down. A sense of well-being that goes deep inside. Because you learn there's one more important principle about causality that the Buddha taught, that what you experience right now is the result of past actions together with present actions. You take the potential, say, for form, feeling, perceptions, thought fabrications, and consciousness, and you turn them into the actual experience of these things with your present intentions. This too is a type of fabrication, and we're doing it all the time. And we want to get more sensitive to exactly how we're doing that. That's where the emphasis gets more and more focused in the direction of, well, what are you doing to put together this chariot? What are you doing to put together this path? Can you do it in more subtle ways? Develop your skills. What happens if get the mind to a point where everything is so balanced that you don't have any more input in the present moment? What happens then? That's why there's a possibility for the deathless. Because it is possible to stop doing these things in the present moment. But you don't just stop them saying, well, I'm going to stop and not do anything. Because you have to learn how to do this right at the right point. Right at the point of balance. And that sense of balance can come only if you've gotten really good at constructing good things in the present moment. You're more sensitive to what you're doing, and then more sensitive, and then more sensitive. So the mind reaches a point of equilibrium, where it doesn't want to go, it doesn't want to stay. And if everything comes together just right at that point, then there's an opening. Right here in the present moment, but it takes you out of the present moment. That's when you realize that the Buddha had to say about causality is so important. If everything were the result of past actions, there'd be no opening in the present moment. If everything were random, there'd be nothing you could do to induce that opening in the present moment. But if you're sensitive to the fact that things are coming in from the past, but you're also doing things in the present moment, you get more sensitive to what you're doing in the present moment. As you get more and more skilled in creating present moments, that's what makes awakening possible. To try to understand, we do have freedom of choice in the present moment. If we didn't have that freedom, as the Buddha said, there would be no path to the end of suffering. But there is a pattern we can learn. You can't just will any old freedom you want. You have to find freedom through learning to master the pattern. It's this combination of a pattern that's there, but can be manipulated. That's what allows for freedom. If you know nothing else about causality, you'll know that much. And then act on it. Don't be a theoretical physicist. Be an engineer. And try to be a really good one. That's how you get free.